was wondering if you were going to go back when you said life history. I've been told it should be put in a book.
Oh, you're doing fine. I love listening to everyone's stories.
Oh, do you?
And what? So he died in 26, and you had just graduated?
No, I hadn't graduated yet. I hadn't graduated from high school yet, but my older brother said, sis, you're going to finish high school. That's all there is to it. So we were active in church again, as always, and the church ladies took up a collection for Mother to buy material to make my graduating clothes. She was a wonderful seamstress, wonderful seamstress. Mm-hmm. So she made all my baccalaureate dress and my graduation dress and all that so that I could graduate from high school.
Now, what you say the family was very involved in the church. What church was that?
My dad was always a Congregationalist.
Mm-hmm.
And she was Baptist when she married him, but then she changed over mm-hmm. to his religion.
Were you very active in the church as a child?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. My dad founded the church in Newman Lake. Mm-hmm. He built and founded that church.
Mm.
And in Reading, we were in the Presbyterian church because there was no congregational church mm-hmm. there. But when we came to Pasadena and we got settled in these two tents and garage, my dad said, well, it's time to go to church. I know that where there's a small church downtown, not the first church, but a congregational church in Pasadena, we're all going.
Mm-hmm.
So Sunday mornings, it was a thing to do, dress up and go to church. Very active in church.
Now, and were you involved in church youth groups in high school?
Yes. And one summer I was sent to what they call a Selamar, which is a retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And one other girl there and myself were sent. Mm-hmm. The church paid my way for that, was it 2 weeks? 2 weeks, 10 days or 2 weeks at a Selamar. And I taught Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And I sang in the choir.
Were most of your friends from the church group then?
No, not all, but I did have some very good friends in the church.
Mm-hmm. So you had almost two sets of friends, your high school friends. And
well, they mingled. Now, the one girl that went to that I knew in church was also a high school mm-hmm. friend, but not close in high school. Mm-hmm. Close in church, but not in high school,
oh.
say.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew of both places.
Uh-huh. What, before we talk about your father's death and your graduation, when did you start dating? Do you recall?
Oh, my dating was a joke.
My
brother, 3 years older, his name was John. John was my beau. John took me everywhere. I met the boys at the party, and we'd play spin the bottle and all those kind of things. But Johnny, my brother, was my date. He saw to it that I went and that I got home. I had crushes on different fellows, but I never went with anybody steady.
So it was mainly group activities then?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't go on church
things.
A date with somebody?
No, not until, I can't remember whether I was through school. I must have been through school that I finally had my first date with a fellow. And he was as shy as I was. It was quite funny. But
was this a schoolmate or someone?
No, he was a little older than I was. He worked, I think he worked for the gas company in Pasadena. But he didn't have a car. We'd have to walk. We had to walk pretty near a mile to the streetcar and go to a picture show. We went to a picture show, and he took me home.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd go on his way. Later on, when he got a car, he'd come out sometime. I ditched him because I got tired of him.
So that was really the beginning of your dating on a one-to-one basis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you talked about playing spin the bottle, for instance. That was all right to do?
Oh, yes. This was group activity. There was quite a young people's group in our church. And we'd have parties. And this spin the bottle was one of the, I remember that one as mm-hmm. one of the games we played. And very innocently.
Now, when you graduated from high school, then you were seeing this young man.
I must have been seeing him when I graduated, but it wasn't really on a steady basis. I don't think his folks ever knew he had a girl. He was that shy.
Now, once your father died and you were about to graduate, how did that change your plans?
Well, I completely forgot and gave up the idea of becoming a nurse because that meant years of more study and work. And realizing that my brother was supporting the family as much as he could, I knew I'd have to go to work too. Mm-hmm. So that summer I had two or three just short little jobs waiting on table and things like that. And then toward the end of the summer I got a job. A neighbor lady told my mother about this man that was starting up a business there in Pasadena, and it was dried candied figs, and he made up Christmas baskets, but he was starting in the summer canning his own figs and so on. And she found out where I could meet this man and ask if I could work for him. And then he sent me to the woman that was going to be in charge of his kitchen. And so then she said, well, yes, but she needed a flunky. Mm-hmm. And I think it was towards fall, maybe August, September, that I started working there, helping them can the figs. And then in the wintertime, they'd take them out and dry them and candy them and stuff them with walnuts, you see, and made a Christmas box out of them.
So they would first can them in order to preserve them mm-hmm. and then wait until they got the sunlight mm-hmm. to dry them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And was that a full-time job then?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And what would you do exactly?
Well, when she was canning figs, I'd help her watch the vats. You had to cook them for an hour and a half or something, and I'd help can them and just help around. And then when it came to preserving them, why, I'd get them out and lay them on the trays and help her. This woman was in charge. She'd see that when they were done. Mm-hmm. Then when they got dry enough, then I'd sit there and help stuff them with walnuts and roll them in sugar and just regular factory work. No, there was this woman was in charge of the kitchen, and he had a secretary. And then later on, his wife came in and helped a lot, and then he had a couple boys. In fact, my younger brother worked there for a while, packing, because he shipped these things all over. And they would help pack them for shipping.
Mm. Now, was this out of his house, or was this a...
No, it was kind of like a little house, and yet it wasn't, but there was an apartment there where this woman in charge and his secretary lived in part of it. Mm. The rest of it was business. It was on a business street.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall how much you made at that job?
It seemed like an awful lot of money. I think it was 35 cents an hour, as I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But when Christmas time came along, there was so much overtime that I was really making a lot of money. I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like $30, $40 a week, you know. That was a lot,
isn't it?
That
was, yeah.
28, 27.
And you would turn all the money over to your mother
then? No, I don't remember that I turned it all over to her. But a certain part of it was paid in. And I remember that my brother and I got together and with some of the money that she saved, sent her back to Spokane to visit her parents. Mm. That Christmas, I believe it was that first Christmas, maybe it was the second Christmas after my father died.
Mm-hmm.
And but she did get a trip back home.
Mm.
I believe it was the first Christmas, because that was the year I was making so much money.
What did you see for your future at that point then, when you were working there?
Getting married.
Mm-hmm. And quitting work.
Yeah, I guess, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But my first marriage was quite a flop.
Mm. Now, when did you marry then?
I married in 1928, which was 2 years after I graduated from high school.
Oh, so you'd worked there for
2 years? I worked at that place for the first winter. Then he laid me off for the summer, because I think by that time, I don't know whether he was buying he was buying the figs canned, that was it. So he didn't need anybody to help can them.
Mm.
So he laid me off that summer, and I worked as a waitress for a while. Then I went back and worked for him a second winter during the Christmas
mm-hmm.
season, you know.
Mm-hmm. What was waitressing like? How did you...
Oh, I hated it. Time? Absolutely hated it.
What did you hate about it?
The hurry, the trying to satisfy people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'd get the order wrong. One time I did such a bad job, the man left me 2 pennies under the plate as a tip.
Did you have problems with their being fresh?
No. I was very insecure myself, and I think that was part of it. Mm. I've matured a lot since then.
How does the money waitressing compare with what you were making?
Oh, just about the same. Mm. I wasn't a good enough waitress, and tips weren't plentiful in those days anyway, you know. So about the same, I'd say.
What was your social life like during those 2 years after you got out of high school while you were working?
Well, I was very involved with this young man that I finally married.
Mm. And how did you meet him?
Well, it was kind of funny. I was coming home from our doings at the church, and he was in a car with some other fella, and they drove by us and hollered and said hello, and that was how I first met him. And then he got acquainted with my older brother and seemed to kind of fit into the family somehow. He was very attractive, and that's the way it started.
So you started seeing him, and you were pretty sure you were going to marry him?
No, I wasn't sure. Mm. But I was ready. But he was a year younger than I am. And see, I was about 19, I think, by that time, and he was just 18. That's pretty young. Mm-hmm. But then we got married the following year, and I was 20, and he was 19.
And what was he doing when you got married then?
Oh, he was just working odd jobs. Mm-hmm. When we got married, he was working in a car wash place. And he didn't pan out so good. He wasn't too, well, honest, put it that way.
With you or in general?
With anybody. Mm. And instead of bringing home his paycheck, he played cards or whatever he did to gamble it away. And my baby was born 9 months and 2 weeks after I was married.
So you were just 29 and 21?
I was 21. Uh-huh. Just past. I was 21 in October, and my boy was born the next April.
How did you feel when you got pregnant?
Mad. I went to a doctor. I'm mad. I says, I'm not ready to have children. He says, then you shouldn't have gotten married, my dear.
You didn't know anything about birth control?
No. Oh, you know, old wives' tales. Mm-hmm. I thought I had a pretty good recipe, and it didn't work.
What was your recipe?
A suppository that was supposed to be...
That you made it yourself?
Oh, yes. The recipe was given to us, and we made it up ourselves.
Where did you get that information?
I think from my husband's sister.
Oh. But so you were really trying to avoid getting pregnant?
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So you quit working right after you married, or did
you
work for a while?
No, I quit.
And then your baby was born...
Next year.
Next year. And what was your life like then?
Well, at first it was all right, I thought. Mm-hmm. It seemed like our rent was being paid and so on. But he didn't have money enough to pay the doctor when the baby was born, and I found out later that he borrowed money from his sister to get me out of the hospital, which I didn't know about. Mm. I was very, very dependent and ignorant, naive.
He managed the finances that you weren't aware of.
I didn't see any money.
Uh-huh. Well, how would you buy groceries, for instance?
Charged them.
Oh, like the neighborhood? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And when I finally left him, there was grocery bills and milk bills to be paid.
Now, what made you finally decide to leave him then?
Well, I kind of hate to go into all that, but he was working from one job to another, and he'd get fired. Mm. One summer we did real well because he was on an ice route, and he was being paid $30 a week. But at the end of about 4 or 5 months, we found out he'd stolen over $500 from the man he was working for on this ice route. He'd collect the money and not turn it in. Well, that started. Then he was working someplace else. I thought he was. He might have been lying to me. And then he was out of a job again. Then he went to welfare. I didn't know this. I thought he was still working. You see, he kept me ignorant. And I found then the welfare got in touch with me to say that they had some work for him. And I said, well, he's working. Well, no, he's not. He's been up here. And they felt so sorry for him. They gave him a new pair of pants to wear, all this kind of thing, you know. And he told this woman that he was in trouble with the man that he worked for, that if he didn't pay him $30 right away, he was going to go to jail. So this welfare lady, oh, he had a marvelous personality, and this welfare lady believed him. So what she did was write out a check to this man. He gave him his name and turned the check over to my husband. Well, it had another man's name on it. That didn't matter to him. He walked down the street to the bank, went in and cashed the check. Well, the $500 that he'd stolen the year before from the ice company, his sister paid that. His older sister paid that off, so he wouldn't be prosecuted. But the bank would not accept any family explanation or money. Mm-hmm. The bank prosecuted.
Uh-huh.
And, but before the bank caught up with him, I had moved out when I found out this was the last straw. He'd lied to me too many times, and I'd moved. I moved over to my mother's with my baby.
How old were you at that point?
My boy was 3.
Mm-hmm. So you were still.
So I was about 24.
Mm-hmm.
So then he spent a year in the county jail in the road camp.
Now, did you divorce him in the meantime?
No, I hadn't divorced him yet.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't believe in divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he pretended to get religion while he was in the county jail, and I believed him, as usual. And he spent 10 months, not a full year, but 10 months in the road gang, and I got money from the county for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that I paid to my mother, and I got a job at a department, Nash's department store in Pasadena while he was
mm-hmm.
gone. And so then I was paying room and board with my mother then. And then he came home, and I took him back. And we lived with my mother for, about 3-4 months,
mm-hmm.
I guess. He couldn't get a job. You see, that was in 1933, around there. And but I could, and I was. I was working steady by that time. In the office,
mm-hmm.
in the office at the department
mm-hmm.
store. And my younger brother hated him because we'd put him out of his room and he had to sleep in a tent and a bunch of stuff. And then my mother had some very rare coins, old coins that she had put away, and they came up missing. We know that nobody in the world could take them but this man.
Mm.
And so shortly after that, I found a little house to rent for $20 a month. And on my salary of $65 a month, we rented this little house. And I took a little bit of furniture that I had, moved into this house, my husband and my boy and I. We lived in the house 6 months till he started playing around with the neighbor's lady, neighbor's wife. And that was the end of it.
And then you said you believed in divorce after all?
Yeah, I did. Then I believed in divorce. But there was a lot in between.
Yeah.
He tried to get me fired from my job and accused me of being a whore and things like that. You know, it was very, very unhappy times.
Sure sounds like it.
Yeah, it was.
Now, who took care of your son then while you were working?
My mother. See, I was living with my mother at that time, and I was paying her room and board for myself and my son.
And then what happened after you were divorced? You were still
working? I stayed. Yes, I kept my job.
Uh-huh.
And I kept working, and I kept living with my mother.
Oh, you gave up the little house that you...
Oh, yes.
Oh.
As soon as I found out he was with this other woman, I just put his clothes out and said, here they are. And the moving van, I gave him my kitchen stove for moving me
mm-hmm.
back to my mother's again.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved in with my mother twice. Oh, boy.
And then what happened?
Well, I was single for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I met Frank. I met him before he was divorced from his first wife,
mm-hmm.
but that had nothing to do with
mm-hmm.
me. And then we married in 1937.
Mm. And where did you meet? How did it happen to meet?
Met at his own house. I was going with another fellow that knew him.
Uh-huh.
And he says, we're invited to a party at their house. And that's where I met him and his wife at his own house.
And were you still involved in the church?
No. Mm-hmm. No, I'd given up by that time. Mm-hmm. I kept on teaching school for a while after I was married until I got so pregnant I couldn't teach high school or Sunday school any longer. Mm-hmm. And then I just dropped out. My husband was not a church man. Mm-hmm. And this man is not a church man either, but he's a fine man. Mm-hmm. He's a wonderful fellow.
Now, so you didn't go, continue going to church on Sunday either then?
No, I take my mother once in a while if I had a way, but no, we didn't have any car, you see, mm-hmm. and it was quite a ways.
So until you married Frank, you stayed living with your mother, working mm-hmm. in the department store,
mm-hmm.
and your mother essentially took care of your son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then when you married, your son was, what, about?
He was seven.
Seven.
Mm-hmm. Almost eight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what was your husband doing when you married?
He was working for the Pullman Company.
Oh,
Pullman Company. Pullman Company.
The construction of Pullman cars?
No, the maintenance of Pullman cars.
Uh-huh.
And then he was transferred to El Paso, Texas.
Mm.
And we were engaged by that time, but we weren't married. His mm-hmm. divorce was not final.
Mm.
So he went on to Texas, and we corresponded. And then in February, his divorce was final, and he sent me train fare to come down there. So my son and I went to El Paso, and that's where we were married.
Oh, and then you lived there for a while?
We lived there for 6 months.
Uh-huh.
He quit the Pullman Company and went to work for the TNNO Railroad that's down there. It goes out from El Paso to somewhere.
Mm.
And we were both very homesick. We didn't like it there.
Mm.
And his mother lived in Glendale. And she wrote and told him that she found out that they were hiring on the Southern Pacific Railroad in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took a 3-day leave of absence from his job and came, taking 24 hours to get here, 24 hours to get the job, 24 hours to get back. And the union man says, I realize you have to give him 10 days notice where you're, mm-hmm. so you won't be blackballed.
Mm-hmm.
So he came back and gave him 10 days notice, and then we drove from El Paso to Glendale, stayed with his mother for a little while till we found a house
mm-hmm.
to rent. And so he went to work right away for the railroad. And we rented a little house in Howland Park.
Mm-hmm.
That was in August of 37.
Mm-hmm.
And about November 37, he was laid off. Here we go again. So he wore out a pair of shoes, beating the pavement, trying to find a job. This was another recession, you know.
It was not a good time to be looking for work.
In the meantime, I was working part-time back at Nash's.
Oh.
So I helped out by working part-time in the office. They called me back. I was in the credit department, and they called me back to work part-time when they needed me. So we managed, and our landlord lowered the rent for us, gave us a month's rent for painting the house, and finally he got on WPA,
mm-hmm.
Frank did. And while he was working on WPA, the union man called him and said, got a job for him. It's a helper's job, but it's working on the Union Depot in downtown. They were building it at that time. So I got a neighbor to drive me out to where he was working. He was working in a tunnel up in Chevy Chase for the WPA.
Doing stone work?
No, digging out the tunnel, mucking the tunnel out for, I don't know what it was for, to bring water through or something. So this neighbor drove me up there, and I said, Frank, Johnstone called, and you have a job at the depot. He just walked off the job and went down, and he had to go right away to get it.
What union was that that he was tied up with
them? It's the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Uh-huh.
IBEW.
All right. So he was doing primarily electrical work?
Not for WPA.
But when he was in the railroad?
Always.
Uh-huh.
Always electrical.
Let me put in a new tape.
Oh, gosh.